Begin the current Dav Masechtas Bava Metzia Dav Tezayin. Begin 13 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Dav. That is, we had two different machlekes in Rav and Shmuel regarding a case when somebody purchases a stolen land from somebody else that wasn't really the owner. One case was regarding when he was unaware that this guy was the Gazan, and another case was when he was aware that this guy had stolen the field and still he bought it from him anyway. It was a machlekes Rav and Shmuel. What does this guy get back now that the real owner, the victim, comes and reclaims the field? What can he go get back from the guy who sold it to him? Which was two different machlekes, and again, in regards to the case of when he knew that it was stolen and when he didn't know that it was stolen. But then the Gemara introduced the following question that Shmuel had asked from Rav: what would that halacha be if this guy who bought the field from the other guy who had stolen it, then after he had sold it to him, the Gazan then went to the real owner and bought it from him after he had already sold it to someone else? What's the halacha? Do we say that, okay, he's like a different person, meaning he's like somebody that takes the role of the original owner, and the original owner, just like he could reclaim and repossess that land because it was not sold by him, so to this guy who had sold it, but he really didn't own it, it was not his field, he also could go ahead and now repossess the field because he's getting his rights from the original owner? Or do we say that no, once he had already sold it, now that he buys it, even it's not going for himself, it's going to just give it legitimacy to the one that he sold it to? So Rav answered, he said, what is it that the first person sells to the second person? This guy, in this case, the Gazlan, the guy who was making a sham as if he was his field, what did he sell to the guy who bought it from him? Kol zchus shetovel liyodeh, any rights that would come to him, he sold. And therefore, what Rav was saying was that yes, it is going to be considered the property, not of the one who's buying it now, because the Gazan, he was just buying it to give legitimacy, as the Gemara explains, to them in interpretations, either because he doesn't want people to call him a Gazan, that's the that the guy he sold it to is going to say, what are you doing? You sold it to me, you're a cheater, you're a liar, you're a robber. Therefore, that's why he buys it, so that it could maintain it by the guy who bought it from him. Or because something by his value is a lekei ben menusa, he wants to be a trustworthy person, and that's why he goes ahead and he buys it. But really, it's not for himself, it's just to maintain it by the guy that he sold it to, who, when he sold it to him, he really didn't even own it. He bought it to go ahead and give it to that person. Now, and that thing more continues and says, pshita, it's obvious that if, let's say, before he went and bought it back from the real owner, then he went and zavna, he went and sold it to somebody else besides the first guy that he sold it to. This guy is a real sham. He takes properties he doesn't own and he sells it to people. Now, not only did he sell it to one person, before he went and he bought it from the real owner, he actually went and he sold it to another person. Or let's say arta. Let's say he gave it over as inheritance to one of his sons. He says, son, I want you to take over from my properties. Here's this property. This guy doesn't own it. He sold it to someone already, and now he's giving over to his son's inheritance, and he doesn't even own it. Or v'yahava b'matana. Or he goes and he gives it as a gift to somebody. He says, you know, I really like you, I'm giving you this gift. So again, he already sold it to someone. He never owned this property. He sold it to someone and then he gifted it. And then he went and he bought it from the real owner. So then this guy, this Gazan, has definitely revealed his intention. His intention is not to go ahead and give it to the first guy that he sold it to, kabayda. That's why he's doing this. And it's not, these are going to be exceptions to the rules of Rav, that it's because, oh, why did he buy it from the guy? Because he wanted to maintain his value system and he wanted the guy he sold it to really get it. You can't say that, because here he went and sold it to someone else. So obviously, when he's buying it, it's not because he wants to maintain fidelity to what he had done, because you can't. He sold it to already more than one person. So therefore, in that type of situation, he really would be buying it for himself, and he would be able to repossess. He would have to deal with the theft that he had sold them illegally in the first place, but he's not buying it to maintain it for them. Now the Gemara continues, let's say naflalei, let's say this stolen property fell to the Gazan birusha as inheritance. In other words, what he had originally stolen and sold off to someone else, he had stole from someone that he would inherit from. Then the one that he stole from died, and therefore now the property falls to the Gazlan as Yerusha. Says the Gemara again, another exception to Rav's halacha. Yerusha memelechi. Inheritance is something that happens automatic. So here you cannot say Rav's svara of that, oh, why is he getting it now because nichle delege bemnusi, because he wants to maintain his faithfulness. Because of Lav Ihu Kotarach Abasre, because here it's not true. Here it's not him going through the effort to go ahead and get that field to say that he's revealing his intention that he wants to maintain his faithfulness. To the contrary, he's just like a regular inheritor, and therefore he would be able to go ahead and claim this field from the guy that he, quote, sold it to. And of course, he would have to compensate that guy because he had sold it to him illegally. But it's not that the fact that he's getting it, now it's going to go automatically because Schus HaTov L'Yod is going to go to that guy. Because that's only when you see that he's trying to get it. Because again, he wants to maintain his faithfulness, or because he doesn't want people to call him a goslin. But when it happens automatically, you don't see any of that effort. And therefore, he would go to the goslin and not to the likach. Another case, Gavei Ihu B'chevai. Let's say, after that, this guy stole the field and he sold it to someone else, he goes to the victim and he says, look, you owe me money. I want to take the field that I stole and use it as collection for the payment that you owe me. So now the Gemara says, Chazina. So then we have to see. E isle arachriti. If the victim, if the nigzel, if the debtor has other fields that this gazan could collect from, and va'amar, and still he tells to the nigzel, hi, this field that I stole, because he already sold it to someone else, be'in is the one that I want. So you see that he's going after that, he's putting an effort to get that field. So then we say, log mekame lekeach kabay, then Rav Svar does apply. Then why is he dafka trying to get that field when he already sold it? It's because he really wants to maintain it to that guy, doesn't want him to call him a gazlan, he wants to maintain his value system. But v'iloi, but if there are no other fields, then we say Zuzihu Debayefroi. It's not true. Then you don't say Rav Svara, because you don't see that he's going to maintain it to this guy, because that's the only field this guy has. And he wants to collect the debt. He just wants to get the money. Then we would say that actually the Gazan would get it, and he's not doing it to give it to Lekech, and he would be able to repossess the field. Obviously, he would have to compensate the Lekech, because he went and sold him a field that wasn't his, but it wouldn't be going to Lekech, it would be going to him. Another case. Let's say the nigzel, the victim, he hears about this. Says, you sold my field to this guy? He's thinking, he goes, you know what? I'm moichel. I'm going to give it to you as a gift. So the nigzel gives a gift to the goslin. So pligibei Rav Acha Ravina. Now we have machlikis Rav Acha and Ravina. Charama, one of them says, matana k'yirusha. The halacha of when the victim gifts it to the goslin, it has the same halacha as an inheritance, because the hamameila, they both happened by themselves. It's not with any effort of the part of the gazan to try to go ahead and attain it. So therefore, just like by Yerusha, where it happened by itself, it goes to the gazan, not to the kech, so too by matana. But V'chanama, one says that no, matana kemech, the halacha of when the nigzel gifts it to the gazan, is like when the gazan goes and buys it, when the nigzel sells it to the gazan, which then we said that then it does go to the kech. And the reason being is because the ilav de torch v'artzikameh, if not for the gazan putting an effort and appeasing the nigzel to somehow get that field, he would not have given it to him as a gift. So now that for that reason that he put in the effort and he appeased him, so that he should be able to maintain this faithfulness, that he could get the field from this guy, from the nigzel, so that he could go ahead and let it be for the lekech, then it would be, according to that mandamar, going to the lekech and not to the gazlan. So those are the exceptions to Rav's halacha. Now, the Gemara asks, regarding this halacha of Rav, Va'ad emas. Now, up until what point would we say that when the gazan buys the original field from the original owners, that we say it's because nichale delekem bemnusis, because he wants to maintain his faithfulness, that's why he bought it. To what point would we say that it's because he really wants to keep his word? So, Amar Avun, he says, Achas amad bedin. Until when the lekiach, who bought it from this gazlan, gets it repossessed, because it really wasn't the seller's field, it's the victim comes and takes it back from him, and then the lekiach takes the gazlan to court, saying, you sold me this field, you didn't even own it. Now, up until that point, if this guy goes and buys it from the original owner, it's because he wants to maintain his faithfulness. But after that, the lekiach already takes him to court, and he maintains his wickedness without really substantiating it to buy it, and so that it could be by the lekiach, so then he revealed his true colors, that he's not a faithful person. And if he buys it after this point, he's not buying it to maintain it by the lekiach, because he wants it for himself. Yeah, okay, I'll have to deal with you in court, you lekiach, but I'm buying it from this guy because I really want the field myself, and it's not to go to lekiach. Chia bar Rav Amar, he says, a later stage, says, Ademata adarchasa liyade. It has to be that the court already pronounced a guilty verdict that this seller has to go ahead and compensate the purchaser with money, and he maintained his rebelliousness until the court actually had to write a psak din, and they give to the lekach regarding the assets of the gazan, that wherever he could find them, he could take them and possess and repossess them. So that is a period of 90 days after the court case, as the Gemara says in Baba Kama Daf Kofid Beis Mabeis. That would be the stage where already would be too late. The guy already showed his true colors. If he's buying it, he's not to keep the faithfulness. Now, Papa Amay says even a later stage, Ad Meschal and Yeme Achrazasa, meaning after that this guy, the Lekeach, found the piece of land from the Gazan that he could go ahead and collect with, and he comes to court, and they announce whoever wants to buy this land could come and buy it, because although it's disguised, but he has to pay up a debt. So as the Gemara says in Erechin, that's for what we call Shuma Yisayimim, which is by the orphans, that the certain evaluation of the properties, it's for a period of 30 days. When they make that announcement that this guy found the field already and he's going to sell it to collect from, that point in time already, that is the latest share, according to Rav Papa, that then this guy, if he buys it after that point in time, then they're ready, it's too late. But before that, he would still be showing that he wants to maintain his faithfulness of paying up. And then if he bought it, it would go to Lekach. After that, it would go to himself. Now, Maskiv lo Rami Bachama. Rami Bachama asks on this primary halacha of Rav that we mentioned in the previous daf, regarding this concept that he answered to Shmuel, Mamacha Rishon LaSheni, that when he buys this from the original owner, after he already sold it illegally, because it wasn't really his, to someone else, he's buying it not for himself, he's buying it to maintain it by the Lekeach. On that, asked Rabbi Bachama Mechti, let's see. Hai Lekeach, this guy who had originally bought it from him, but my Kanya Lahayara, how is he acquiring this land? Bahai Shtara, with the document that was originally written up for him from the Meicher, who really didn't even own it, with that document? Hai Shtara Chasba Amhu, that document is what's called a shard, a general shard, meaning to say it has no validity, because it wasn't even his at that time that he sold it. He later bought it, but how does it go then to the Lekeach when there's no kinyan that's happening between the Meicher and the Lekeach? Because when he did sell it to him and there was a document, that wasn't a true document. So Amalei Rava says, Tehei, this halacha of Rav should be Bima Minai. In the case where the Lekeach told to the Meicher, I rely on you that you're going to give me the thing that you sold to me. Now, and that explains Rava, Bahu Ana, the Lekoma Le Midi, because Samachale, with that pleasure, that benefit, that the purchaser, the consumer, didn't say anything to the seller, although he was being dishonest, unfaithful, and he relied on him, Tarcha Maisla, you believe in me? He goes through the effort, and he's going to bring it to him. Gomar Umaknile, he concludes, and he goes, and he acquires it to him when he goes and he buys it from the original owner. Which Tosfos explains the mechanics of how this kinyan would work. It would be as if the Meicher, who was really a Gazlan, told Lekeach that this field is going to be yours when it's going to be acquired to you when I go ahead and buy it from the original owner. So that's the kinyan that he's giving it to him as a future tense, meaning right now I don't really own it, but since you trust me, you believe me, I'm selling this to you that one day I'm going to buy it from the real owner and then it's going to be yours from now. That's how the kinyan works at the time when he's selling it to him for when he ultimately ends up buying it from the real owner. Now, in this interpretation, Master Rav Sheshes, he asks from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, if let's say somebody tells somebody else, Mashi'irish me Abba Machalach, what I will inherit from my father, is sold to you. I'm selling you that now. Or Mashatala Mitsudasi, what my net will bring up, meaning of capturing wild animals or birds or fish, Machalach is sold to you. Loi Mukumi hasn't said anything. But let's say he says, Mashi'irish min Abba Hayyoy Machalach, what I'm going to inherit from my father today is sold to you. Or Mashatala Mitsudasi Hayyoy Machalach, what my net is going to catch today is sold to you. Then Dvarv Kayam, and then his words have validity, and that is a valid sale, which Gemara later on is going to ask, what is the difference between Rishon HaSeifa, if it's today or just in general? But one thing the Gemara says is, Amar Rami Bachama, he says, Hagavra, this person, meaning Rav Sheshes, V'hati Ufta, and this question, meaning you have a great person, and the equivalent is his question. Because we learned in this Braisa that this guy who said that what I'm going to catch or what I'm going to inherit is sold to you, loy maklum. That's what the Rashi said. He hasn't said anything. So therefore, when he does inherit it, Lekeach has not acquired it. Why? Because at that moment when he sold it to him, it wasn't his. It was his father's property. And we do not say, and this is the question of Rav, Ma'amachal Rishon L'Sheni, what did the first guy, meaning the son, sell to the second guy? Whatever rights will come to his hand, that's what he sold him. We don't say that. Now that contradicts Rav, as we just explained the Gemara. We said, how do the mechanics of that kinyan work? He doesn't own it now, so how did that? And when he ends up buying it, he didn't make a kinyan lekach. We said it's because he's selling him now what I will ultimately end up buying. But you see from this braisa that that doesn't work. You see that he says that what I'm going to inherit is sold to you now. Lo meklum, he hasn't said anything, so that contradicts Rav. So Rav says to Ram Bachamam, says Gavra Kachazina. Yes, I do see a great person, but for you have to look Kachazina. But I don't see a great question. Why? Here in the case of Rav, the Lekeach has what's called Smichas Das. He is confident, he's relying on the seller, and that's why there is a Gemiras Das of a Kinyan. It is considered a valid Kinyan. But here from the Baraisa, there is no reliance of the purchaser, and therefore they did never conclude a true Kinyan, and that's why it's not going to be sold, as the Gemara explains. Here in the case of Rav, the purchaser is reliant and he does conclude to really have this be a true acquisition because the Azl Tarach HaMaisilei, because what happens? The seller goes and goes through the effort and brings it. He could do that and he will do that and he's confident that the seller will do that. Why? He knows that the seller doesn't want to be called a Gazan, so he's like, although he knows that this is shady, I don't think this guy really owns it, he'll go through the effort and he'll buy it, so therefore he's confident and he buys it and it's a true Kinyan. But Hacha, in the case of the Brais over here, Loisam Chadaite, the Lekeach doesn't really rely on it. The reason why it's not a true Kinyan is because he says, who said that this guy's going to inherit anything from his father? Maybe his father's going to sell this piece of property before he even dies. So that is why he's not confident, and that's why it's not a Kinyan. But if there's a Smichas Das, like the case of Rav, then yes, even though it's not right now, it is going to be a Kinyan, and therefore there's no contradiction. So to Shalchu, they had sent this Tiyufta, this question of Sheshes, which he had asked on Rav, they sent to Lekamed Rav Abba Bar Zavda. So Amalhu, he said to them, Zu enetzvich lefnim, this question does not need to be addressed and to be brought in to the yeshiva students in the yeshiva, because no one there is going to be able to answer such a difficult question. That's one interpretation of Rashi. Actually, brings another one, the opposite direction, because it's not a good question, therefore there's no need to bring it into the Beis Medrash, because it's pretty obvious why it's not a difficulty. Now, on that Amar Rava said, no, Zu tzricha lefnim v'lefnei v'lefnim. Actually, not only does it have to be brought into the Beis Medrash, it has to be brought all the way deep inside. And the answer is, as we said before, hachasam chadaite v'achalasam chadaite. Here in the case of Rav, he's reliant, and therefore he's really going through with the Kinyan, and that's why it's going to work. But in the case of Brisa, he's not, because who said he's going to inherit, and therefore that's why it's not a valid Kinyan. So to have a uvda bepumbadisa, there was an incident in Pumbadisa which they had judged according to this halacha of Rav. V'oisve, and they had asked from this Brisa on Rav. And that Omlo Rabbi Yisrael said to them, "Zu in tzricha lefnim." This doesn't have to be brought into the study hall. This question. And that Omlo Abaya said to him, "Tzricha lefnim v'lefnei v'lefnim." No, it has to be brought in and inside of the inside. But the answer is hachasam chadaite, hachalisam chadaite. Again, the difference is by Rav is because the smichas das, the guy is confident, the guy will go through the effort and bring it and buy it from the original owner. That's why it is a valid Kinyan, the country. So the price, it's not, and not difficult on Rav, because there's no smichas das. Who said he's going to inherit? Who said the net's going to catch anything? There's no way of even making sure that should happen, and therefore there's no valid Kinyan over there. Now, the Gemara just goes and asks, as we alluded to before, "Umayshna Reisha, Umayshna Seifa." But how do we understand the Brisa itself? What's the difference between the Reisha when he says what I will inherit or what my net will catch? It's not valid. Yet in the Seifa it said, but what I'm going to inherit today or what my net is going to catch today, then it is valid. What's the difference? Shouldn't it be the same Loisam Chadaite and it shouldn't be a valid Kinyan? So then Rabbi Yechon, he says, you're right. Seifa, the end of the Braisa, however, when he says, Masha'irish me'abaha hayoim, what I will inherit from my father today, the reason why it does work over there is Mishum Kavait of, it's because of the dignity, the honor of his father, because obviously his father is dying today. His father is in the throes of death. And he needs money to bury him and to buy the burial shrouds. So since he's forewarned regarding the dignity of his father, we don't want his father to just lay in disgrace because he doesn't have the money to go ahead and bury him. So the Rabbana went and instituted that it should work for that day for the dignity of his father. So to Masha Talam Tzedasa Yom, when he says what my net will catch today, as with Tin Tamid Beis, that Mishum Kedei Chayev, that's what necessary for him to survive. He's saying what it will catch today, the Chachamim instituted that his word should be valid because maybe he needs food just to survive. But you're right, when he says whatever my net will catch, meaning this month or this year, there's no element of just survival, because it's to make money for the month or for the year. There, the halacha is, as we said, there's no smichas das, and therefore it's not going to be a valid kinyan, there it's not going to work. And the sefer, for rabbinic reasons, that the father should be able to be buried, or that he should have food for the day, there they said that that is going to be valid as a kinyan, and that's why that's a valid sale. Now, related discussion, what we mentioned before, Rav Huna Marav, this idea that, based on this discussion of Rav's halacha, so there's another halacha from Rav. If someone tells his friend, this field that I'm going to buy, when I do buy it, it's going to be acquired to you from now, meaning when I'm going to buy it, I'm not going to be able to retract. Says Rav, Kana. Then this guy who bought it from him, who doesn't even have it yet, but when he does buy it, it's going to be, he's saying it's selling to this guy. Then when he buys it, he can't retract when he buys it, and it's going to go automatically to this guy that he sold it to before he even bought it. And that Amar Rav, the Rav says, Mistaber Milsa de Rav, it would be logical to say that this halacha of Rav is Besada Stam, is when the guy told him, look, there's a field that I'm going to buy, and he doesn't say this field. Where there you could say that the one who's receiving the gift is what he has what's called Smichis Das, he's reliant to rely on him that he's going to buy a field and give it to him because there are many fields in the world to go ahead and buy. Of Besad Zulay. But says Rava, it would be logical to say, but when he said this field, that then the one who said that he said he's going to give him the field when he does buy that field, he's not reliant, this recipient of the gift. And he doesn't really trust him, doesn't really believe him to say that he's going to be able to go ahead and be faithful and get it. It wouldn't be logical to say Rav's halacha with it because who said he's going to get that field? Maybe that guy's not going to want to sell it. Maybe who knows what? Because Miyemen de Mizavan Leinale, who said this guy's going to sell it to him? And that says Rav Valikim, which is a terminology of taking an oath. Amar Rav afilu b'sadazu. Rav said this halacha even when the guy said, when I buy this field, I'm going to give it to you as a gift. And then it is valid when he does buy it. Because Mechti, let's see. Rav Kaman Amar L'Shmaite. Who does Rav hold like when he says this teaching? Kiremeir, like Rameir. The Amar Adam Makna. Rameir says that a person could acquire something to somebody else that didn't even exist yet in the world. And this is the principle that we're talking about over here, where this guy's already gifting something that he doesn't even have yet. And Rav is basing his halacha on that principle. Now, the Tanya will learn the Braisa, that we'll see that Rameir's halacha applies not just in the general sense, to say that only there would be smichas das, but even by a specific thing. Because the Braisa says, O'imli isha iskachili. If someone tells a woman, I want you to be engaged to me, but we can't get engaged right now, because let's say we're both non-Jewish or all these other cases. I want you to be engaged to me la'achashez gayer, after I convert and become a Jew. Or la'achashez gayeri, after you convert and become a Jew. Or la'achashez tachrer, or after that I get emancipated. Or la'achashez tachri, after you become emancipated from being a slave woman. Or la'achashez balech, after your husband dies. Or la'achashez yachetz lach yavamech, after your yavam goes and does chalitza to you. After your sister, who's my wife, goes and dies, because he can't marry two sisters, says the Tanakh Kama, Einu Mekudeshes. He's not engaged, because right now he can't create the Kedushin, he can't do it for when it will be valid. And on that, Remeir Einu Mekudeshes, he says that she is engaged, because you could be Makna Davish, although it's not extant yet, this ability to be do the Kedushin, you could do it now, even though it's not here yet. Now, says the Gemara, says Rava, Ba'isha, now the case of getting engaged to a woman, is the same thing as specifying this field. Why? Because in many of these cases mentioned over there by Remeir, it's not within his ability to necessarily make it that the Kedushin will be feasible. Because let's say in the case of when he's an Eved or she's a Shifcha, he can't force or she can't force the master to free them. And therefore that's the same thing like in this case by Sadazu, where he can't force the owner of the field to sell it to him, which, because he had said specifically this field, so too it's not in the hand of the woman to kill her husband or her sister to make that she can then go ahead and have Kedushin. And still, Amrav Meir, Meir says that when they do end up coming into that situation where Kedushin could happen, Mikudesh is that the Kedushin happens retroactively, and therefore we see that the concept that Rav is being based on, which is the opinion of a mayor, would work even not only by Sada Stam, but even Sada Zu, that there is a Smichas Das, and the Kinyan will work retroactively from this point in time. Now the Gemara continues with a halacha related to the topic of our Mishnah, which was mentioned in previous daf. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Hamoiti shtar hakna b'shuk." If someone finds a document of hakna, which the concept of a shtar hakna is, where the one that he's giving over to is going to acquire from him. Let's say if someone wants to borrow money, $1,000 from somebody. A shtar hakna is, even if the loan does not end up coming out, even so, he's being meshabed himself right now to pay this guy back $1,000. Now, obviously, he wants to borrow $1,000, but even if it doesn't happen, I owe you $1,000. So, someone finds such a document of hakna in the marketplace, says Shmuel, yachzir labaylam. You return it to the owner, meaning the creditor, the one that the shtar hakna was written for. Why? Because the imishum the cause of the because if you would say one of the concerns would be, wait, how can we return it to the lender? We don't know if he even loaned money. But if you say return to the lender and not to the borrower, but then you might run into the problem. Maybe it was written for the loan to happen, but maybe the loan never ended up happening. And that's a Shmuel, but we're talking about shtahakna, hashi benashe. He already indebted himself even if the loan doesn't happen. And the imishum perayin, and if you're concerned about, and these are concerns that we spoke about in previous dafim, that maybe it was paid up already. And maybe it fell from the borrower's pocket, not from the lender's pocket. We're not concerned for payment. Why? Because if it happens that he paid him up already, this, what he was meshabit himself, this hakna of $1,000, even if the loan didn't happen, but mikra habakarli, he would have torn it up. Why would a borrower hold on to a document that could only incriminate him? He would have ripped it up. The fact that it wasn't ripped up and we found it must be it fell from the lender and not from the borrower. Amr of Nachman, he says, Abba, my father, min safri dayoni de mar Shmuel Haba, was one of the scribes of the judges of Master Shmuel, who were quoting this halacha from him. Vahavina kvarshita kvarsheva, and I was around 6 or 7. Videchrona dava machrizi vami, and I recall that they would announce and say, Hanishtar akne yasa de mishtakhti beshuka, these documents of acquisition that are found in the marketplace, and Hadrinu Lamarayu are returned to the owner, meaning just like we mentioned before, this halacha of Shmuel that it goes to the lender and not to the borrower. Now, Amar Vamram, he says, Afanan Tinina, actually, we also learned this in the Mishnah later on, the Chafam and Aleph. The Mishnah says, Kol Maisa Bezen, any act of the courts, which the assumption, the Gemara is, that even a document that has a henpik, which is a certification written on it, which was verified and certified in court, is called a Maisa Bezen, Harizi Yachzer, that is returned to the creditor. Now, Amma, we see that since there's no concern that maybe there was no loan, now the reason for that is because you don't certify a document in court only if the litigants are there and we see that the loan actually happened, as the Gemara says, Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Beis Mabeis. So, what would be the only point? There's no concern of Shem because of Lilith Blay Lava, because if it was certified, if it's a Maisa Bezen, obviously it was. But one thing that we see is obviously the Aloy Chashin Leperayin. Obviously, we're not concerned for that it was paid up, which again confirms this halacha of Shmuel, where Shmuel says, in the case of Shtar Akna, just like in the case of Maisa Bezen, there's no concern that maybe there was no loan, because if it's certified in court, obviously there was a loan. The only other concern would be maybe it was paid up, and that we see that if we're returning the Maisa Bezdin, then obviously we're not concerned for Perayin. That verifies Shmuel's halacha that we're not concerned for the Shtar Akna either, that maybe it was paid up, because then he would have ripped it up. Now, Amalei Rabzeir said to Rav Amram that no, there's no proof from the Mishnah Daf Chav to this halacha of Shmuel. Because Masnit, in the Mishnah, there is Toma Bishtori Chal Ta'asa, which is a document that the courts write for somebody that produced a document for collection on his friend. And the court mandated that, okay, that's a valid document, and he has to pay up to this friend, and he didn't pay. So they go down to his estate, and they evaluate for the creditor one of the pieces of land, and they give the creditor a different document that this field that he's confiscating is through the authority and the permission of the court. That's what's called a shtar chal ta'asa. Or va'adrachasa, which is, let's say, if they didn't find, they went down to his property, they said, you owe this money, and they have a permit to go into his house, and they don't find any properties. Now, so they write for the collector that he can go ahead and do his due diligence and search all over the world to find if he has any assets, and if he finds, he'll be able to collect. That's called the shtar d'chasa. So he says, that's what the Mishnah there on Nafchaf Amar Alf has told about, that if you find such a Maisa Bezdin that, again, there's no concern that Shemakasa Lovis Vlay Lava, that you return it to the lender, Why? It's not going to prove Shmuel's halacha that, because we're not concerned for Parayin, maybe generally we are concerned that it was paid up, and we would not return to the lender. But we're talking about Shtarich HaTa'asa and HaDerchasa, Delav B'nei Parayin Ninu. They're not documents that could be paid up. They're just they're permission types of documents. Those type of documents, they're given to the lender, and the reason is because there's no feasibility of paying it up. It's saying something that this field that he repossessed was with the permission of the courts. There would be no payment there. Maybe you want to buy it back from him, but that's why he says there's no proof to Shmuel. Now that Amar Rav says, what? V'hani la b'nei Parayin? What are you talking about? Seemingly, that would be a proof to Shmuel, even if he said that Shtar Chatasa and Chasa, because what do you think? They're not documents that could be paid up? But V'ami Nardai said, Shuma, which is when the court evaluates for the creditor a piece of land of the borrower, Hadr, the land is returned if the borrower pays up money, Atresi Achishata, up until a period of 12 months, meaning even if he went and he did repossess the land, and he took it, he confiscated from the borrower, and with the permission of the courts, but it could be paid up, because the halacha is up until 12 months, he could pay it up and get his land back. And moreover, Amema said that, I'm from Narda, v'svirili, and I hold a shuma hadur la'ilam, that actually what was repossessed by the collector actually could always has to be returned if the borrower ends up coming up with the money. So then essentially it is something that has the feasibility of payment, and therefore says Rava that the rejection of the proof for Shmuel from Rav Amram from the Mishnah of Chaf is not a valid rejection, because even if it's Tomash Tari Chatasa and the Dechasa, it would still be something that could be paid up, and therefore you should be concerned, if you are concerned with payment, that it fell from the borrowers. And the fact that we're not obviously proves Shmuel's halacha that we're not concerned for Peroin. However, Elam Rav, but what Rava does say to reject the proof from that Mishnah to Shmuel is because Hasam Hainu Taima, there the Mishnah and Daf Chav is for a different reason. Meaning, generally says Rav, I could say, yeah, not like Shmuel, that we are concerned for payment. There is a different reason. De Amri, because we say, Ihuhuda Afsida Nafshe, there, if the borrower had paid up already, then if he didn't tear the document, he caused a loss for himself. Why? Because the be'idna depare, because at the moment that he paid up, then he should have torn up the document. Now, moreover, inami, even if you're going to say that the creditor went and pushed him away saying that, look, you want the shtar dechasa that I had, the shtar chata'asa, I lost it. Now, on that, the borrower should have said to him, okay, but lemichtiv shtara achrina elavei. I want you to write me a new document right away now that you went and you sold it back to me, the field that you had collected for me. Now, the Gemara gives a reason for this concept of Rava, that it is fitting to write what's called a shtar mechira on this field, which was really the borrower's field all along, but was just repossessed by the creditor, that he's selling it back to him. Why? Says Rav, because the Medina, according to the basic halacha, actually the land does not have to be returned when it wants to be redeemed by the borrower, unless if it's willingness from the collector, he doesn't really have to return it to him. But, meaning because halachically, he's allowed to repossess and he's allowed to use it as collection, so now it's his field. But a mishum, but because, like the pasuk says in Devarim, that it says, you should do what's upright and good in the eyes of Hashem. So based on that pasuk, who the Amar Rabbanan Tahadir, so the Rabbanan, rabbinic law said that you should go ahead and return it to the borrower if he ends up coming with the funds to give him back the land that was repossessed. Now, Hilkach, therefore, says Rava, Mereshahu the Kazavin. In other words, this is not really a pidyon. He's not just redeeming his field. It's actually a new acquisition. In other words, it's as if the field was always the collector's field. Now, therefore, if somebody now writes a document of a sale on the field that he's getting back, that's not a mistake. And therefore, says Rava, he should have claimed, Iboile lemichtiv shtar zvini. he should have said, then you should write me a document of a sale. Because since he's pushing him away from returning him the document that the court had written him, saying, oh, I lost it. Okay, you lost it? Go ahead, then write for me a document that you're selling it back to me. Because that's what's happening. He's going and paying it up. So that's why in the case of the Mishnah Chaf, if you find that Shtarei Chalta'asa and the Shtarei Dechasa, it's going to go to the lender. Reason being is because one of two reasons. Either because if he actually gave him the document back, then why didn't you rip it up? And even if you're going to say that he made believe he didn't have it and that's why I didn't get it back, but I really paid him up, then you should have summoned him to write for you a new document of a sale, which Rava just explained. It makes sense that it's, because really in reality it is a sale. Because really you're not like just redeeming it. It was really his. Because biblically it is his. But rabbinically they say that, okay, you should give it back, but that's like a sale. However, and this is what the Rava concludes in his rejection of the Raya of Shmuel from the Mishnah of Chav, but by a regular document of debt, like in Shmuel's case of a shtar kna, what are you going to say over there? In other words, im isa de pari, if you're going to say this claim that, wait a second, like Shmuel said, if he paid it up, he should have torn up the document. But on that I could say, I could say that the lender was being evasive, being avoidant. Because the Amalei, he was telling the borrower, oh, Lamachi Havnilach, tomorrow I'm going to give you the loan document because you really paid me up the $1,000. Now, I shouldn't really be holding on to this because I can make believe and collect from it another time. But he's delaying because he says, Dash to Lesa Gabai, I don't have it right now. It's in my other jacket. It's somewhere else. It's in my summer home. Or Inami, or another approach that he might be using this lender to be avoidant, Apshiti de Safra Zoyerle, which the word Zoyer is a term of holding back. The reason why he's holding back the document from releasing it and giving it to the borrower who paid him up is because the onus of paying for the scribal fees of writing up the document is actually on the borrower. Now, sometimes at the time of the loan, that's why he's borrowing money, the borrower doesn't have money to even pay for the writing up of the document. So the lender will extend for him not only the loan, but the payment for the writing of the document. Now, when he pays him up for the loan, he'll say, okay, but I'm still holding on to the document until you pay for me the payment of how much the document cost to write up. And therefore, says Rava, that is why, in general, even by Shtar Akna, we will not return it to the creditor, to the lender, and not like Shmuel. Because Shmuel said that we're not concerned for payment. Maybe, says Rava, we are concerned for payment. Maybe he did pay it up. So then, why didn't he tear up the document? Because maybe he never gave him back the document. Maybe he was being avoidant. Now, but what are you going to say about the Mishnah of Chav? Why then do we return it to the creditor? That's because even if he was avoidant and didn't give him the document, but you should have summoned him to write you another document. What's another document? A document of sale. Because there it makes sense that it's like a sale, as Rav had explained, why biblically really is like the collector really owned the field and now you're getting it back. It's really like a sale. That you should have had at least that proof, which doesn't apply by regular Shtar Knessa. What document should he have written to, like, there's no selling back anything. Therefore, there you could say that in that type of situation, we're not going to return it to the lender, and therefore there's no proof to Shmuel from the Halacha on the Mishnah of Chav. Now, Amar Bava Amar B'yechnan. Rabbi Bava says the name of Rabbi Yechanan, who actually disputes this halacha of Shmuel. Hamaytzi shtar chayv b'shuk, if someone finds a document of debt in the marketplace, says Rabbi Bava, afa peshakasa by henpek, even though it was certified by the courts that it's a valid document, lo yichziru labaylam, you don't return it to the owner, meaning to the creditor. Because, and moreover, he says, lo yimibay hecha de lo yikasa by henpek, he says, actually, you don't have to say that where there was no certification written on it, because dikal mem because of libus v'leilava, then you could say that maybe because this is not a shtar kna, it's a regular document of debt, where they're for sure we're not going to return it to the lender because maybe it was written to borrow and they didn't even borrow, so for sure we shouldn't return it to him. But says Rabbi Vo or Rabbi Yechon Eila full of kasa b'hempik. But what he's coming to say is even if it was written on it, a certification by the courts that it's a valid document, meaning which certifies that a loan actually did happen. Because of my nihu, what is something that a hempik written in it means the mekuyim that it's a certified document? Still lo yach, so you don't return that to the lender. And the reason being is because the chashin leperayin, which disputes the halacha of Shmuel, we are concerned that it was paid up already and it fell from the borrower, not from the lender. Now, isver Rabbi Yirmi lebavo. Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Vo from that Mishnah Dav Chav. The Mishnah says, kol ma'aseh bezdin, any act of the courts, which this is also a Maisa Bezdin, because you're saying it has a hempik, it was certified by the courts, says, Hareza Yach, so you do return it to the lender. So obviously that refutes your halacha that you said that we don't return it to the lender, even if it's certified. So Malaysa Bavo said to him, Yirmiya Bari, my son Yirmiya, Loi kol Maisa Bezdin Shavim, not all acts of the court are equal. Ella, rather, because that halacha in the Mishnah of Chav is told by Kagan Shahuchzik, where this borrower has already been established as a kafran, as a liar, as a denier from a different time. That's why we don't believe him to say that he paid it up. It was regarding such a case that the Mishnah there over there said that since we know that the loan happened and we don't believe him to say that he paid it up, that's why we're going to return it to the lender. But in general, when the guy was not established as a liar, then we go ahead and we don't return it to the lender because we are concerned that maybe he did pay. Now, on that, however, Amar Rava, Rava asks, Umishum de Huchzik Kafrin, Chod de Zimna, what? Because one time he was established that he was lying regarding a situation in court, Susulay Paraklau? So what? He never pays up ever again? In other words, if we are really concerned that when the document falls, that maybe he fell from the borrower because maybe he paid up, so this guy that wasn't careful with the document, so now because one time he lied, so he's going to lose and you're going to automatically return it to the lender, but why? You're concerned that maybe he really did pay. So forget about him being believed, but why should now we always assume that now the loss is going to be on him and maybe he really paid and it fell from him? So Elamar Rava, rather Rava says to explain and resolve Bavaz Halacha, Masnitin Bishtari Chal Ta'asa Vadar Chasa. The reason why the Mishnah over there is not difficult in Rebavo is because it's talking about these documents that we said that are court documents which certify that the collections that he took are through the permission of the courts. And like Reb Zeira had said, where it doesn't apply the concern for being payment because these are not things that could be paid for, that's how Rava says that resolves the halacha of Rebavo because yes, generally we are chayesh leparayin, but these types of documents are not things that could be paid, and that is why, since we know it's certified, we know that the loan did happen, and this collection happened, and it's through the validity and the verification of the court, since it's not something that could be paid up, so automatically there's no reason to assume otherwise, we give it to the lender, to the collector, to the Baal Chayiv, that's what it goes to. But in general, yes, the halacha could be like Reb Avo, that if it's a situation of a regular Shtar Chayiv, which is, let's say, a loan document, we are not going to return it to the lender because maybe the borrower paid it up and it fell from him.